that's where I think a lot of people run into problems with SEO is they don't realize that it's math-based. They think there's something, some arcane knowledge only a handful of people have, and they can't get access to it, when in fact, you can.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. Very, very excited to go into a very specific topic today. So I know sometimes we go into some broad entrepreneurship journeys. Sometimes we speak about sales specifically. And today I want to go into something that's a bit more marketing related, but so useful for anybody who wants to stand out and use one of the most used tools for how to find information and discover organizations, which is through search. We've all Googled stuff, but times are also changing. We're hearing about AI. Is it changing our relationship with search? And search engine optimization, or SEO, is something that we've talked about in the past, is still relevant today, but will it continue to be relevant? Which is why I want to bring Kyle Roof, who's going to be joining us today, talking us about all the different secrets that have been hidden around how to really rank high, get discovered, and realize that you don't need to do the hacky stuff. You don't need to be doing what they call black hat techniques, which we'll unveil a bit more about what that's about, to be able to have success, be discovered, and make more sales in the process. I'm so excited to bring him onto the platform. If you're not familiar with him, he is the man behind Page Optimizer Pro, HV SEO Co, and IMG courses. He educates people on SEOs, has built technology for on SEO, and he's here to share more with all of you who are listening in. Kyle, welcome to the platform.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, I heard that you almost actually got punished by Google because you kind of exposed their algorithm, and then it kind of backlashed, and then they kind of went like, you can't tell everyone how we do things. So I kind of wanted to lean into that controversy to kick it off. So how did you end up getting punished by Google by just showing them how they're doing things?
That was fun. It wasn't fun in the moment, but it's turned into a fun story. The very short version is there was an online competition for ranking, and the 27 professionals entered the competition. And the only rules were, and it was a real sprint, it was only a 30-day competition, who can rank for this term in 30 days. And the term was rhinoplasty plano. So rhinoplasty is a nose job, and Plano is just outside of Dallas, Texas. And 27 professionals entered. Only seven got anything to rank, which was kind of funny. But the rules were you had to have a brand new domain, so a brand new website, so you couldn't have done anything to it previously. But after that, you could do whatever you want. And I felt I had a really strong team with me, and I was like, hey, let's go at this. And so we went in, and technically we took fifth, but nobody was really lighting the world on fire, because in 30 days you can't really rank all that well. I think the guy that won was on page 8 and we were on page 9, so that's the very bottom of the SERPs. But about 2 weeks later we went to page 1. About 2 weeks after that we went to number 1, and then a little while we were number 1 in maps and number 1 organic. We wiped out the maps and we were the knowledge panel, so we were rhinoplasty plano, like the definition of it, for a little bit. And that's when people really started to lose their minds, and they lost their minds because we did the entire site in lorem ipsum. So lorem ipsum is the fake Latin text that you put in as like a filler or a placeholder when you're building a website. But we did the math. We did the math for how many times we needed the target keyword, you know, rhinoplasty plano, how many times we needed its variations, how many times we needed its contextual terms, like the terms that define something. And then there are very specific places on a website that Google will look, and then we very crassly copied and pasted those terms into the lorem ipsum. And we got the page to rank, and to rank quite well. And the reason that we did that was to show that it's not good content that ranks. It's math that ranks. Google is an algorithm. I need to give the algorithm the math that it wants. And everything else is just filler. Now, obviously, you need good copy to sell. You need good copy for people to convert. But when it comes to the ranking portion of it, it is math-based. It's still been math-based. What we demonstrated really showed that.
That's hilarious. And what a good story to kind of open up what I feel is a trend happening, not only in SEO, but it's happening, I think, almost all over the place, whether it's like email, headlines, click rates, YouTube optimization, thumbnails, and maybe SEOs. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you speak, okay, yeah, you need good content to sell, but it seems like 90% of our effort needs to actually be spent on just getting the attention, because that seems to have gone harder than ever. and trying to find a way to like get that attention by doing some small tweaks seems to leverage a whole lot of results. Is this the same kind of trend we're seeing in SEO? And what does that look like if you're comparing it to 10 years ago?
Well, an interesting thing is that people talk about it changes all the time. And I would push back against that a little bit. If you think about a bell curve, you know, where there's maybe like 80% in the middle and you've got 10% on each side, it's the stuff on the sides that changes. And that's usually people trying to game Google. And so Google then tries to stop that from happening. But the core part of the algorithm, the core part of what Google does to evaluate a page and to rank a page is the same that it's been since, you know, since I've been running these tests in 2015 up until I'm running the exact same tests in 2024 and they all still work. And the ranking principles remain the same. Now they do pull the levers here, like maybe this is a little more important or that's a little more important. But by and large, the main point of the algorithm, the main function of the algorithm has remained the same. And I think will continue to remain the same because it provides good results. Now there are extra features. You know, we've heard about the AI stuff that's going into the search results pages and stuff like that. That's a slightly different animal. But the main core part of it, the part that you're trying to, when you have a page and you want somebody to find that page when they search for something in Google, the main part of that has remained the same. And I think it will remain the same for quite some time.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. It seems like it's in an industry that seems to have a lot of changes when you're talking about marketing. That one seems to be having that consistency being there. So if I'm looking to go out there and use SEO, and you just already threw in the term AI, has that been shifting things in a significant way? Or is that just maybe a buzzword that's taking away the attention to the core that we need to do?
AI isn't anything that can do SEO. So AI, it can help you come up with ideas and it can help you create content faster. But if you're bad at SEO, all it's going to help you do is do bad SEO faster. It's not going to instantly do your SEO for you so that now you're ranking for everything. That's not what it's intended to do. It's not what it knows how to do. It's not anything that it wants to do. So it can help you create the content that you need, but it can't help you be a better SEO. It can't help you with how your strategy should be. It can't help you with how you interlink things on your page correctly, you know, from one page to another on your website, what to go after, how to approach that. It doesn't really know any of that. And so it can't help you get there. And so a lot of people, you know, I've been doing SEO for over a decade, and I'd say every 6 months, SEO has died, where this has come along and this is the end of it. And, you know, there's just, this is it, guys. SEO is dead. And people were really pushing hard on the AI stuff that it was going to kill SEO, and it just hasn't. And it hasn't because there's still an algorithm. And as long as there is an algorithm, there will be a way to optimize for that algorithm. And that's where we as SEOs come in and do the work that we do, because we optimize for the particular type of search that someone is doing. So I know some people are bearish on SEO. I'm more bullish than ever, just because, yeah, some people will get frustrated and they will leave the industry, but then that just provides more opportunity for those that are there. And if you're in the game, I think it's a great time for opportunity. This is when growth can happen. This is when a lot of money can be made. This is when I think you can really take advantage.
You know, that's maybe something that I would connect to sales in general. I mean, we've heard salespeople are dead when the internet came out, probably when typewriters came out or whenever else sort of technology came. There was kind of a cry that it was no longer needed. But again, I see sales being something that's more needed than ever. I think people are craving for that kind of human touch. And I feel SEO is probably getting the same kind of treatment here, which kind of begs the question, why do you think there's such an adversity to wanting to go into SEO? Like, are we seeing the benefit? Is it because it's math-based? It's more difficult to enter that game? So what do you think are the barriers that keeps people from just saying like, yeah, of course I need to do this. It's easy.
Well, a lot of people think that SEO is actually like now pixie dust and magic, you know, and that there's, you know, maybe there's something secret or hidden and something like that. Maybe they don't know it. That's where I think a lot of people run into problems with SEO, is that they don't realize that it's math-based. They think there's something, some arcane knowledge only a handful of people have, and they can't get access to it, when in fact you can. One of the best parts about doing SEO is that the secret is actually hiding in plain sight. Google shows you the sites that it likes. And it likes those sites for really one of two reasons. It likes the site for the words that are on the page, and it likes the site for the external signals that are coming to that page. Those are often referred to as backlinks. So backlinks are votes. You know, if you have a piece of content and somebody else says, hey, check out this content, and there's a link on it, so if somebody clicks and then comes to your page, that's a vote, and Google counts those votes. Not all those votes are equal. The more authority, the stronger, the bigger a site is, the more weight that vote carries. But really, so there are those two things, the words that are on the page and then the links that are coming into it. What it comes down to is then you can count those things. You can count how many times those words are being used. You can see where they're being used. And then to a large extent, you can count the votes that are coming in. And the idea is that if you give Google the kind of page that it wants and you can get the votes from the right places, then you can be very successful. And that's, you know, where tools can come in, because you can go in and you can manually count these things. That's a little difficult to do. It is possible, but you can emulate the type of page that Google wants. You can write it a little bit better. You can get those votes. You can get a few more votes. And then that's where you can be successful, but without relying on any magic or special knowledge. It really just comes down to grinding, figuring it out, and then getting it done.
That's very interesting when you speak about like pixie dust, because that's obviously where a lot of people are just like, yeah, I can't touch that with, you know, a 10-foot pole. And then we look at AI and we're like, oh, is that going to replace it or fix everything? But you said earlier, like AI, if you're doing bad SEO, you're just going to accelerate your demise. And even if I'm looking at tools that are not AI based, but there's tons of tools, including some of yours, that exist to help me with SEO, if I'm still doing things badly, I'm probably going to use technology to accelerate my demise, regardless of what tool that is. So I'd be curious to know, what are the core things that I should be aware of or that I should be paying attention to if I want to at least get myself good at understanding SEO and have some utility with it?
Well, again, look at the pages that Google is ranking for whatever you are trying to win. You know, there are only 10 spots on page one. Yeah, so like Google shows you, these are the ones I like the most. And then there are ones on page two, these are the ones I like second most. And you can start to see a lot of similarities between those types of pages. Now, things will change keyword to keyword. It's not learning it once for one keyword and then you've got it for all. You know, things change keyword to keyword, things change niche to niche. Now, this is where it maybe gets a little tricky, is that Google will like these types of words for this keyword and these types of links for this keyword, these types of votes. But for another keyword, they might like the words in a different order or a different amount of times, or they might like slightly different links coming in, different types of votes. So that's where you have to do that type of research. But it is there, it is accessible, it is something that you can figure out. Now, if you wanted to learn SEO, like I want to go learn what these things are, a great way to do it is to use a tool like mine or a tool like called Quora or a tool called Surfer. And these are on-page tools. Look at the things that they have pulled out that are important. If you can define what those things are, if you can locate them on the page, and then you can see what you would need to do to tweak or optimize them, I bet if you did the 50 things in each of those tools, you'd probably crack the top 250 in terms of best SEOs in the world, because there are a lot of people that don't know any of that. They claim to be SEOs. So, but that'd be a great way to learn it. See what those tools have pulled out, what they've identified. And if you can figure out what those things are and where they are on the page and how they work, you're going to really accelerate your SEO knowledge, and you could actually probably start to do some SEO from there.
Nice. Well, I do have to take one step back. So assuming I'm listening to this and, you know, I'm on this podcast so far and I'm like, okay, they talked SEO, they said keyword. What the hell keyword? What am I supposed to even think about keyword? How do I come up with a keyword? What does that mean? Like, if I'm really playing a beginner's mind, say I've just got this business, what am I even trying to rank for? What do I find as a keyword? If I'm, I don't know, am I a solopreneur? Am I a small retail shop? I think what feels concrete to me, like I'll think of my dad. He has a swimming pool retail operation in Ottawa, Canada. So I can think of like swimming pool, buying a swimming pool, Ottawa, localized. Seems like a game I can play. But, you know, anybody who might be in a more services-based business, where do I start this? Like, how do I start getting those keywords idea down if I'm feeling totally clueless?
A keyword is something that someone would type into a search engine and then things would appear, pages would appear. And if you want to win that term that they would type in, and by win, I mean you show up in Google when somebody does that search, that's a keyword. You could almost think of it like the main concept of a page. There are some important ideas here, though. If you have one important term, it needs one specific page on your site. Google doesn't rank websites, Google ranks pages. So there are times when I'm consulting with, say, somebody that's relatively new to SEO, and they'll say, we want to win this term, because they know it's an important term for, you know, buy a pool in Ontario type of term. They know that's important to them. I'm like, okay, well, what page on your site have you built and optimized for that term. And you'll hear crickets. And they're like, the website? And it's like, well, no, you can't just build the website. You have to have a specific page for that keyword, for that top-level concept. So if you think about what are the main services that you have, your main products that you have, each of those are probably keywords, and each one of those likely needs its own page on your site in order for you to optimize for that. Now, that main term needs to go in very specific places on the site. Don't overthink it. Some people really like to out-clever Google. If there's a term you want to win, that term needs to be as that is on the page. And you'd want to put this into the page title, the title tag. That's the title that search engines see. And you want to get that in your H1. That's the title that humans see. If you've ever built a page, that's just the title header, the one at the top. You need to get into those two spots. You need to get it within paragraph tags. Paragraph tags are just your main content, the main words on the page. And they also want it in the URL. The URL is, you know, what you put in for the name of the page that goes into the web address if somebody types in. So those are the top four places to put a keyword. If you put a keyword in those four places, you've probably done 60% of SEO right then and there. And if the term isn't terribly tricky, you will beat a lot of your competitors just doing that, because most people try to out-clever it and they won't put the top keyword in those four places. And you don't need any special tool or any special knowledge to do that. It's just a matter of getting it done. And it surprises me to this day how many people don't do that at all and then wonder why they're struggling with their SEO. So if you can do that, you're going to get way ahead of your competitors, especially if you're dealing with other competitors that aren't doing a lot of really great SEO.
Yeah, I love that. And then I love how you speak about the algorithm being math, and that's why you need to put these equations in place that will favor into the algorithm. But when you're doing that search for those keywords, I love that there's still a very human element, because you need to think like how your customer would possibly try to look for you in a search, right? Like you're trying to figure out, okay, let's say I'm a coach that's offering, you know, life coaching. Like, what would someone end up looking for on Google if they were looking for those kinds of services? And for the times that I have done some SEO, that's usually the place that I start, is trying to put myself in the shoes of the potential buyer. And I was going to ask if the fact of having a location win as opposed to the global win, because it seems like if I'm someone that's a small business and I have to compete against these international big companies who might have an entire SEO team, is localization one of the ways to win, or are there still some things that I have a chance, or has it been already maxed out?
Yeah, having a location is certainly a lot more easy to rank than trying to do a national, international type term, for sure. Because if you've got, you know, the plumber in Ontario, that's an easier term to win than just plumber. The other thing too is if you win for a term just like plumber, any one-word terms or two-word terms are often definitions, and that's not a term you want to win anyway, you know, because it's going to pull up Wikipedia pages or university pages that explain what that thing is. But there's probably something a little more specific that your audience, the people that you want to come to your website, would be searching for, and adding a geotag, a location, is one of those things that can be very, very helpful and makes it a lot easier to win those terms, for sure.
Fair. So I do want to kind of unveil or at least expose what is one of the terms that I hear the most around, particularly SEO. You hear people using like black hat technique. And for you particularly, I know you use the term white hat technique. And so I wanted to maybe help us define what those are, because I've seen a lot of people doing SEO making bold promises, and not all of the methods seem to be as legitimate in the process. So I'd love for you to unpack that for us.
Sure. So Google has a set of guidelines that they have for how they want people to conduct themselves online when you're building out a website, when you're building out a web page, when you're promoting your website or your web page. There's a set of rules. And if you stay within those rules, that is called white hat. You stayed within the parameters that Google has approved for what they think is correct behavior and not trying to manipulate their algorithm in a way that they don't appreciate. So that's white hat. If you start doing something that's outside of those guidelines, which can be very, very effective, they consider that black hat. And the idea is when they do updates to the algorithm or when their bot comes in looking for things, if they suspect that you've done something black hat, they can demote your website, and they can demote it, just drop it farther down. So instead of being on page one, now you're on page three or page four, or they can remove your site from search entirely. And if you get on the naughty list, if they've identified something that they don't like, it's tricky to get off. It's tricky to get your ranking backs, if ever. Now, there is then what they call gray. And that's where, because not all the rules are clear, which is actually a frustrating point. The rules aren't always clear, and Google does not define them very well, even when asked directly. And they intentionally keep things, I think, a little murky so that they can pretty much do what they'd like to do. But if you're in that gray space, they call that like gray hat SEO, where you're like, I don't know, it's right up against the edge. Most of the things I would still avoid, as you don't want to take the chance of getting your site hit. But black hat is outside the guidelines. White hat is directly inside the guidelines. And then gray is kind of in that blurry spot where there are some things that are not clearly defined. Now, something to keep in mind, though, even if you're doing completely white hat SEO, you can still get hit in updates because Google might perceive you've done something even when you haven't. And there isn't necessarily a review board. There is if you've got a manual action, like somebody at Google has actually looked at your site and said you've done something wrong, and they actually might tell you we have manually demoted your site. You can ask for a review there. But by and large, they do what are called algorithmic demotions. And that's where just the algorithm has decided, and you have to hope that the algorithm decides that you're good again. So you can still be completely within the guidelines. You can get hit. That is something that happens. And that's one of the more frustrating things in our industry, that it's just not fair. There's an element of unfairness for sure. And so while definitely SEO needs to be part of your marketing strategy, don't make it the whole thing. Make sure you've got other channels that are bringing you traffic, other ways that you're promoting your products or your services. Because if you have it all within one basket, whichever basket that might be, it can dry up. And in digital marketing, it can dry up quite quickly, even when you've done nothing wrong. So be very careful with that. And I think a lot of people, especially in the last year and a half, have learned that lesson very harshly in SEO, where they were just completely relying on Google traffic and they weren't doing anything wrong. Algorithm changed. Google went after some bad actors, and in going after those bad actors, some good sites got swept up in it as well, and they have not recovered. So be very careful with everything within SEO, but still, it's still an extremely strong channel and something that you should be doing.
I think when you do crush it, it crushes exponentially and continues, because you get some traffic that you didn't even need to pay for it, but you've invested time, you've invested effort, you've invested your knowledge. And if I can take away some of the key things from the conversation on SEO here, is just the fact that it's not that hard to get started. And there's some very basic things that most people could do, which is just understanding what would people be searching for to discover the service or product that you offer might be a great place to start. And then the key places for them to place it. You spoke about the title, the H1, the URL itself, and understanding that it's not about the whole website, it's about specific pages. And just doing that, you've already done more than 50% of the work, which could actually yield some results in your industry. Being more specific, say locally. So if you're operating your practice from a certain area, there's probably some good wins you can do there. And there's some surprising amount of traffic that might be coming for your specific keywords. So to me, there's definitely some low-hanging fruit opportunities that are completely underutilized in this age more than ever, since more and more people are moving away from SEO, looking at more shiny objects. This one has its foundations. If you're doing a good business, you have a website and you want to be able to have a page. Now, writing the content on that page has become easier because of AI. So get your basics in, get some stuff that might be relevant to keywords, and that might be a great place to start. And then from there, I would just encourage people, is this something that you could go and do? Say you've listened to this podcast, would you recommend people say like, hey, book out a weekend, get real curious about it, and just do a lot of stuff to at least get your basics covered? Would that be a great strategy for anybody who's at ground zero here?
Yeah, think about, there are probably 5 to 10 pages that are going to be extremely important to your business. Start with 5. That's not overwhelming. When you build a website, it does kind of feel like writing a book. I'm sure everybody has had delusions of grandeur that they're going to write a book and it's going to be amazing. And then they start to write that book and they realize how much it sucks to write a book, how much they don't want to, and how not good at it they are. It can kind of feel that way with a website. So don't worry about writing the entire book at once for your website. Get a few of the important pages on there, stuff that you really need that would just make sense to have for your service or your business or your product or whatever you're doing. Get those done. And look at the type of page that Google is expecting. One mistake that a lot of people make out of the gate is, let's say they've got a physical product that they're selling or whatever, that's one product. And so they've got a product page because they've got a website that has the product on it, and they try to optimize that page and it just doesn't go anywhere. Like, it won't crack the top 100. And then if you do the search though for that particular product, what you notice is that there aren't any product pages on page one. It's all long form articles, or it's category pages, something like that. give Google the page it is expecting. So you can't teach Google anything new. You can't say like, this is actually a better page, Google. Google doesn't care. You know, so like look at the page that Google's expecting for that term, and then that's the page that you should build. So if you're trying to optimize that product page, you might only have 250 or 500 words on the page, but those long form articles have 2,500. Within how the algorithm works, you're never going to compete with those longer pages because they're getting the terms in more times or providing more information, et cetera. So make sure that when you decide, okay, we're going to go after these five important terms, then look at the results for those terms. What is there? What types of pages do you see? That's the type of page you need to create. So if I can stop anybody from making a huge mistake at the beginning and wasting a lot of time and spinning their wheels and like going in a completely wrong direction, is after you identify that term, look and see what type of page is there. How many images are on that page? What other features are on that page? What do they look like? What are they doing? That's what Google's expecting, and that's what you need to create in order to give yourself the best chance.
I love that. So that's a lot of technical and prescriptive information for everybody tuning in, which kind of brings me to where I want to kind of phase shift a bit this conversation, because I find all this SEO stuff fascinating, but I also find the person behind building this institution. You have developed technology, you do consult clients, you have courses, and I wanted to kind of go in behind, who's Kyle and how does Kyle become this SEO guru who's done all of this stuff? And like, a lot of people are trying to find the business they want to go into. They're trying to find this thing they have a passion for or they're excited about. And I'd be very curious to know what got you first interested into SEO that you've built your entire career around it.
I got into SEO as a necessity. I had started a company doing web design and development. It's actually going pretty well. It was at a time when I was living in South Korea. And that was kicking off, and I brought my brother into it because he codes, he does web design and development. And we had this really strong team of people that were freelancing out of India. And I got the bright idea, let's go to India and open up a company there, you know, because we could get more employees and it'll be more cost effective. So we did that. And we were told we were going to get a shakedown from the police because that's just how it works. And so we're there. My brother's there. We have 11 employees. I was in the U.S. at the time. There's a knock at the door. It's the police. And they need to see his business papers. They ask for the papers. And he's like, here are the papers. And they're like, these are the wrong papers. And my brother goes, okay, kind of how much do you want? But instead of asking for the bribe, they put him in handcuffs and throw him in jail. And so now my brother's in jail in India. And the chief of police goes, look, these could be the right papers. I don't know. You have two choices. One, you can leave town tomorrow. Two, you can stay in jail and wait for the magistrate to come and the magistrate will sort it out. My brother goes, well, when does the magistrate come? And the chief of police goes, I don't know. And my brother goes, I think I'll leave town tomorrow then. So he gets back to the office. He grabs what he can. Our employees have fled because obviously they don't want to be involved with this. And we get him back to the U.S. and we're just hemorrhaging clients because we don't have people to do the work. And so my brother goes, look, I can take these four clients, you know, because he can code and he could take those and make it. And I don't code. And we had just signed a few people on for SEO because I was like, oh, you know, we built them these websites. Now we can service them. And so in order for me to pay the rent the next month, I need to learn SEO that day. And that's basically what I did. I was like, I need to figure this out so I can keep these clients. And then it turns out I was pretty good at it. And it's worked out pretty well since. But it was a harrowing couple of months. I was kicking off my career just so I could survive.
Wow. Trial by fire?
Yeah.
My God.
We went all in on it. But then it worked out pretty well. Yeah.
I'd be curious to know, how effective did you find yourself being able to sell when you had all in and this not wanting to sell, but needing to sell? Like, what was that mindset you think you had that made it kind of succeed in the process?
You know, what was interesting is that, so I'm learning how to do SEO. And, you know, I'd type into Google, you know, is this a ranking factor, you know, or should I do this thing? And you get three yeses, three nos, and three maybes. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work. And then I was like, oh, you know what? People just put up test sites. That's what they must do to get this information. And so I put up some test sites, and that still wasn't helping me because it still takes a little bit of time. So then I developed a method for testing. I was like, okay, well, I can figure out how to test this. And I figured out this method for testing. And in 2015, I spoke at a conference. It was the first time I spoke on stage about SEO. And this is a real high level conference, a really good conference, about 40-ish people in the room. And it was kind of one of those conferences where you can converse with the speakers. So I was expecting like, hey, I'm going to show you this method that I developed for testing, and then you show me yours, and we'll have this really good conversation. And then 5 minutes into the presentation, I realized no one is doing this. Like this method, nobody's doing anything close to this. And so I got off stage and I called my business partner and I was like, hey, look, here's the deal. Nobody's running tests like this. And so we've got all of these tests that we've done. These are our case studies, and we'd kind of been showing them to potential clients, but like, let's go all in on this, that we are actually scientifically based, that we test something out over here and we figure it out, and then we bring that to you. What we said was to potential clients, we're like, hey, we know you're talking to other agencies. Ask them what tests they're running right now. And we knew the answer was none. And we say like, because if they say no, that means they're testing on your site. That means they're learning on your site. So if you don't like that, you know, we do it this way. We're scientifically based. We run our tests over here, and then we bring to you what moves the needle. And that gave us our USP, you know, because if you don't have a voice, if you don't have that unique proposition, you're just one in a crowd, you know, then maybe you're just arguing on price or deliverability speed or something like that. But that gave us something that we could really hang our hat on, that we're running tests. And then I now have a US patent on that testing method, which has really gave a lot of credibility to the work that I do. So we were able to say like, hey, look, these are tested methods. This is the patent. This is what we're doing. So if this appeals to you, if you like this concept, this is where we're coming from. And this is why we do what we do. Getting back to the first story, something that I didn't mention was about 3 months after the thing went live and everybody could see what I did, there's a online publication that did this like pretend investigative journalist thing, like where they found, and it says Google ranks site written in Latin. And in that article, they actually put my name and the site. And about 6 hours later, the site was de-indexed. Google took it out of the index, which I guess was fair play. But that night from like 1:15 to 1:27 a.m., Google de-indexed 20 of my test sites. And those sites had absolutely nothing to do with the competition site. It was just punitive. They were just being mean. And at first I was a little frustrated with that, but then I realized that they had validated everything that I said. They validated everything that I was doing, because if I was just talking nonsense or I got lucky, they would have rolled their eyes and moved on. But instead, I actually gave a pretty clear indication of how you can learn about the algorithm. You can do these things and you can learn what is really happening. Fast forward a couple of years, I then did a course White on White Hat SEO. I was reacquainting myself with the guidelines to make this course. And in one of the sections on the no-no list, it says, you can't have a page that makes no sense to the reader but contains keywords. And I was like, well, when did that become a rule? I don't remember that rule at all. And so there's the Wayback Machine, which is where you can put in a URL and it'll show you what was on that URL from months and years past. And so I put the URL into the Wayback Machine, and there was a shot of it in February before the competition, rule not there. 6 days after my site went live, so after competition's over, my site's live and everyone can see it, that rule becomes a rule. And then Google punished me for it about 3 months later after that. So I think I might be the only person on the planet that has a Google rule and a patent in SEO.
Oh man, Kyle, I love these stories. And quite frankly, I'm so excited, especially the gem that you've pulled out about how you were able to identify something you could do differently than every other competitor, where you did not have a competitor anymore. Like, that was such an effective way to make you stand out. Because again, a lot of people are feeling homogeneity outside. Every service or product seems like 100 people are doing the same thing. You found your way to stand out by just paying attention to how people were doing it and just doing it better, in a way that you kind of came from outside the industry, which was your advantage, because you realized you didn't need to do it like everybody else. You did it better. And now you stood out and had some success in the process. So I think that's really, really cool. And I think that speaks to your ability to pick up on something from a sales perspective. Was sales something that you've naturally done growing up? Something you developed? Is it something you struggle with? What's your relationship with sales?
No, I think I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. And so it's been a necessity. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. But if somebody comes to me, or there's some sort of warmness to it, if you're going to buy this lawnmower, I can tell you why my lawnmower is better. And I can explain that. I also learned you don't sell the lawnmower. You don't sell how well it cuts the grass. You sell the lifestyle that the person's going to live with a better yard. I learned that quickly as well. You know, that's the line, you don't sell the drill, sell the hole. But that's even incorrect. You don't sell the hole. You sell the painting that they're going to hang in their living room because they're able to do the multi-widgeted, you know, drill and how much better their life's going to be with that painting hanging on the wall. So I can get into that, and I've started to understand that a lot better. But I've had to do that basically because if I'm not the one making sales or my business partner is the one doing the sales, then there ain't nobody doing the sales. And that's how it was for, you know, quite a long time. We now have a sales team, which is really nice. But yeah, before, those were just things that I had to learn and do. And not that I enjoyed it, but definitely we got it done.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that most people listening here are realizing, like, okay, sales got to be done. This is just what fuels the business, and we got to get it done now, get it done right, and then eventually you build out the sales team. But you got to figure out your USP, as you've mentioned, and sometimes you got to roll up your sleeves and, you know, figure out what is it that people are actually wanting and what is it that you actually solve. I do have to ask you, since you are on the Selling with Love podcast, what does selling with love mean to you?
I guess, you know, I like science. I'm not a scientist. I have a degree in psychology. I have a Juris Doctorate. I'm a lawyer. But I do really enjoy science, and I do enjoy the history of science. And if you see me speak, I always tell a story about some scientist that you haven't heard of or some side story to another scientist that you might know as a way to lead into whatever I'd like to talk about. But I do that because I like it, you know, and I did the science stuff, you know, like when I was running the science, I enjoy it. I run them today because I like it. And so I guess the idea would be it's a USP for sure that I found, but it's done because it's something that I enjoy. I think people can see that. You know, it doesn't come off as a forced thing like, oh, we just decided to run some scientific test. I was doing something that I actually enjoy. And I think that comes across. And so if you can be transparent, you have to have a voice. You know, you have to have that unique perspective, but that needs to be authentic. And I think if you do that, that'll come across so much better than anything that a book taught you about sales or how to manipulate people. But that authenticity and that kind of transparency to what you're doing, I think can get you to that selling with love.
Kyle, I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for your time sharing about SEO and sharing about your story, your glorious story. Honestly, this is so interesting, but I love how it really brought you into, you know, going aggressively into figuring things out, learning. A lot of people are like, oh, I got to wait for the right time. I got to learn the right thing. You had a need. You needed to make this work. You had to learn SEO. And with that fire, you figured it out and started new methods, identified a USP, started selling it. Now you've built the technology, teach the courses, and have some clients. I'm going to direct everybody to the show notes. You'll find pageoptimizer.pro, tons of resources there based on the technology that Kyle has put together. IMG.courses. If SEO is something you want to dive deeper into, they have available courses, and of course hvseo.co agency, where you can request the services from Kyle and his team to get SEO done for you if this is something you don't want to get your hands dirty in, but know that it can give you some direct advantages for people to discover you more and to grow your business in the process. It's been an absolute joy to refresh my own memory around SEO. I hadn't been having conversations about it in a long time. What I've taken out from this conversation the most is that it's not dead. The fundamentals are still there, and there's some low-hanging fruit that everyone can take advantage of, including my own business. So I need to pay attention to that, and I'm very grateful that you were able to come here and share that with us. Kyle, thank you so much for coming up on the show. This was an eye-opener, a joy, and now we have some work to do. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.